Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read two verses. And this morning, I'm going to ask you to work with me. I'm going to ask you to talk back to me. Amen. If you hear something that ministers to your soul, I want you to say glory. Glory. No. Say glory. Glory. All right. And if I say something that shakes your soul, say, God, help me. What are you going to say? Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. Someone say, lay aside. Every weight and the sin. Someone say sin. My pastor used to say sin. The Bible tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Some translations say fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. This morning, bow your head, close your eyes with me. We're going to pray one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would be with me. I ask that you would minister to our souls this morning. I pray that you would come, my spirit, come every spirit that's in this house. I pray peace. I pray authority. And God, I come against every weight that would try to hold us down this morning. I pray for breakthrough. Set us up, God, for the month that we might experience the greatest breakthrough we have ever seen in this city. God, help us, Father, to think beyond our circumstance this morning. We love you. We bless you. We give you glory in Jesus' name. We all say amen. Before you're seated, look at the person next to you and say, stay the course. All right, you may be seated this morning, and this morning we're going to dive right into our message. We got back on Wednesday, and I wasn't really thinking it through, but you know, we left on a Wednesday, we came back on a Wednesday, and who's ever gone on vacation and had to go back to work the next day? How many know that ain't easy? So you know, I went back to work, and it wasn't easy. But I've been, in a sense, decompressing, and I've been asking God to minister to my soul. And on a Friday night, you know, we were decompressing, and I was sitting there with my family, and I was searching for something to watch on TV. And we were trying to find a show, and I came across American Ninja Warrior. Who's ever watched that show? Specifically, what caught my attention was the American Ninja Warrior Jr. And it's great because what that is, if you've ever watched the show, it is a show that consists of little kids between the ages of 9 and 12. And what they do is they square off against each other. And these kids normally train very hard, and they go through an obstacle course. And as I was watching this show, I was reminded of a show that I grew up watching, because when I was growing up, we didn't have American Ninja Warrior. What we had was something called American Gladiator. Now, how many have ever watched that show, American Gladiator? Those of you that are young, if you've never watched it, go Google it. I think that show was great. I used to love watching the show American Gladiator, because on this show, amateur athletes, right? Normally it would be like a mom, a dad, a coach. Amateur athletes, what they would do is they would come onto the show, and they would go through a series of challenges against trained stunt professionals and gladiators. Now, what I mean gladiators, they're talking about bodybuilders. So it was very evident who was the gladiator and who was the amateur. So here you would have someone like myself come on a show, and I would go through a bunch of obstacles against trained professionals. Are you hearing me? Now, what was interesting about this show was that the gladiator's main objective on the show was to push the amateur athlete's athleticism to the limits, and the gladiator's main objective was to eliminate Listen to me clearly. Eliminate the amateur athlete from completing the course. Now, on the show, you would have two amateurs going against each other, and the amateur that would win at the very end of the show, they would go through one final obstacle course. Anybody remember the name of the obstacle course? Sure you don't. Well, let me tell you. Someone say, what was the name of the obstacle course? Thank you for asking. I'm going to tell you. At the very end of the show, what the amateur athletes had to do, they would have to go through an obstacle course that was full of fire and water, and the course was called the Eliminator. Someone say Eliminator. Eliminator. On this course, the amateurs would run through, and all the gladiators, everyone on the show, would team up against this one person. As they would go through the course, you would have the gladiators throwing unexpected obstacles in the way of the amateur. Now, I started to think about that a little bit because I started to think that you ever felt like, I don't know about you, but like my life, I feel like my life has been one big obstacle course, right? The gladiator was an obstacle course that was, when you would watch the show, it was kind of unfair. Who's ever felt like life has been unfair to them? You know, as I watched the show and I started to think about some of your obstacles, and I started to think that some of you, you're running this race, you're going through a course, and you feel like everything is coming against you. Somebody wave at me. As I was praying for you while I was gone, the Lord was showing me that there are some of you, you've made a decision to enter into this race, but some of you really don't understand what you got yourself into. And now that you're serving God, the hits are coming, the temptations are coming, and what seemed to be all excitement and all fun and all games has now become a reality. See, when we say we want to equip you and we want to train you to do the work of the ministry, we're not talking about you coming to church and simply doing a service. We want to train you in the spirit so that you can fight against unseen things that come against you in your life. Are you hearing me? See, the reality is this. When you make a decision to follow Jesus, there is an eliminator that is at work, and his name is Satan. And based on what I see here, now I know that there's some people, they're not here because of a legitimate reason, but there are some people, they're not here because they've been eliminated. Are you hearing me? Someone say amen or oh my. The eliminator is always at work. Satan is always at work. Are you hearing me? See, the truth is we're going to go through obstacles in life. Sometimes we're going to fail, but this is what I love about the Bible. The Bible says, though a man fall seven times, he shall rise again. So when we fail in our sins, or whenever we fail, what we have to come to the conclusion is we don't want to wallow in our sin. We don't want to wallow in our failure. No, we want to learn from it, dust ourselves off, get back up, and get back into the fight. Are you hearing me? Now, what is an obstacle? Well, by definition, an obstacle is something that obstructs or hinders progress. In life, everyone has different obstacles that they're going to go through, right? Sometimes our courses, our circumstances can seem unbearable. Who's ever been there? But here's the thing. There's good news because the Bible says that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of your faith. In other words, he's still writing your story. So it doesn't matter what it looks like right now. How many know that there's a good ending in Jesus? See, today what I want to talk to you about is I want to talk to you about enduring through tough times, even when you feel like giving up. I want to talk to you about enduring through tough times, even when you want to give up. And I want to share with you a promise that God gave me during a time where I was thinking about giving up. How many know that the Bible is full of promises? Right? And what we have to do when we read the Bible and God gives you a word, you got to learn to circle it. Some of you got to type it out. You got to print it. Put it on your fridge. Come on, somebody. Put it in the bathroom. Come on. Put it in your car so that you can hold on to those promises as you won't go through life. You know, when you look at the scripture we opened up with, here we have an author who is writing a group of believers that were facing heavy persecution and they were experiencing unexpected obstacles. Now, what is happening here is that the author in Hebrews chapter 12, he's encouraging God's people to endure a race that is set before them. And he encourages them to fix their eyes on who? Work with me, who?
Jesus.
And see, this morning, that's what I feel led to talk to you. That's what I feel led to encourage our church to do. If you gather anything today, I want to challenge you to do one thing. You got to fix your eyes on Jesus. Because when you start focusing on all the trials, you start focusing on all the emotions. Come on, somebody. Right? How many know that our emotions can get the best of us? Our emotions, right, will sometimes cause us to make hasty decisions. But this is why it's important that we focus on Jesus, because when I'm focused on Jesus, my emotions take a back seat to what is true, to what is right, and to what God wants, not what I want. Are you hearing me? The ability to put our emotion aside in exchange for truth is something that we call spiritual maturity. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to go through tough times, but at the end of the day, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we keep in mind that he's not finished with us yet, it's easier to press in and keep standing. See, as you start on your journey, I want to challenge you early. Listen to me. Some of you, you've made this decision to go on this journey with us. So for some of you, this is new. For some of you, you're jumping back into the fight. For others, you're experiencing a new level of commitment. But this is what I want to challenge you to do as the pastor of this church. I want to challenge you early on to lay aside every weight that would try to entangle you and keep you down. If you're going to run this race effectively, you will have to early on, listen to me, identify the weights in your life. You know, when I talk about weights, those areas that hold us down, those areas that try to hold us hostage, right? There are areas that will try to ensnare us. There are areas that the Bible says will try to trip us up. Are you hearing me? What are those areas? Don't worry, I won't list them now. But here's the thing. Once you identify those areas that try to weigh you down, you have to willingly lay them aside so that you can run the race that Jesus set for you. Now, here's the beautiful thing about how God works. God is a God of order, right? So it's interesting because we have a vision within this church. Right? And some of you, you have the gifting, you have the knowledge, and God has called you to serve here. But we have to, if we're going to effectively reach this community, we ourselves got to throw off the weights that not only will trip us up, but the weights that will trip up someone else that's walking into the door. Are you hearing me? See, Hebrews chapter 10 is interesting because, again, you have the author speaking to God's people who were experiencing a time of heavy persecution, right? And as a result, God's people, what was happening, they were growing weary. You ever got tired? You ever felt like giving up? Right? This is where the people were at in Hebrews chapter 10. So what does the writer do? The author, he encourages the people, but listen to what he tells them in Hebrews 10:32. He says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. He says, remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering. See, during this time, the people were being persecuted and they were enduring tough times. But now, years later, after they were blessed, after they had been walking with the Lord, they're now being persecuted once again. But now they're thinking about going back to their old lifestyle. And here the author is reminding them, think back to the time where you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Let me know that sometimes bad things are going to happen to us. Right? In those times, we can't lose heart. We can't go back to who we used to be. Let me just tell you a dirty little secret about who you used to be. Because the enemy will come and remind you of all the fun times that we had when we would go out drinking into the clubs. But what he will leave out are those times where we didn't wake up knowing where we were at, where we woke up dirty, where we woke up throwing up, and people told stories about what we did. The devil will paint a pretty picture of what life used to be like. Your life used to be easy, but he'll leave out the idea of suicide. He'll leave out that life, although it was fun for a moment, many of us were empty and we would go to sleep at night not knowing our purpose in the morning. Where am I going with this? Listen, guys, we have to anchor down and fight against everything that would come to try to steal our purpose. You got a purpose this morning. This church has a purpose. You got a goal. Listen, I am a man on a mission. I am a marked man this morning. What does that mean? I am a marked man. I am a soldier enrolled in the army of God. I can't go back because I am listening to my commanding officer. I have an assignment here on earth. I have an assignment here in Tacoma. Some of you, you got an assignment and you're running from it. But the assignment that he's given you, it's not just for your benefit. The benefit that you'll get by sticking to your assignment is this thing called fulfillment. But the benefit that you will see on everyone else is helping them fulfill their purpose. But when I stick to my assignment, when I do the work of God, it affects other people. Are you hearing me? You got a gift. The enemy wants to steal it. See, the writer here, he goes on to tell the people, don't lose heart. Don't go back now. But I love what he says in Hebrews chapter 10, 36. Listen to what he says. He tells them, patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then, someone say then. Amen. Heavy, watch this. He says, then you will receive all he has promised. Let's unpack that for just a quick second. He says, patient endurance is what you need now. In other words, he was telling the people, okay, excitement got you this far. Wanting to do the work of God got you this far. But he said, now at this level, what you need is this thing called patient endurance. And then once you've done that, the Bible tells us here, after we've endured that, we will receive his promise. In other words, if you're going to make it out of here, if you're going to make it onward and to the next level, if you're going to fulfill the will of God, you are going to need the spiritual quality of patient endurance. See, here the Bible introduces to us a spiritual quality that is needed to obtain God's promises. Heavy. How many want the promises of God over your life? Amen. Then you're going to need patient endurance. In other words, when it doesn't seem like it's working, when it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, you got to do what? Patiently endure. Right? When you're doing the work of God and you don't see the fruit, maybe you start a Bible study soon and only one person comes and only one person comes for the next 5 weeks. Do you give up? No. What do? Say it with me. Patiently endure. When you start your own ministry, and maybe, just maybe, I'm not saying I'm special, but maybe I start it with you. And then the first round, we have 15 people. But maybe I walk away and I say, you run it now. And then you realize only 3 people show up. What are you going to do? Patiently endure. What if you go out and you run the street evangelism and only 5 people show up for the next 10 weeks? What are you going to do? See, when we preached and when we took over this church, for the first year I was preaching to sometimes 7 people. All of a sudden, I got bent out of shape. But you know what God was teaching me? Patiently endure. What does endurance mean? It is the ability or strength to hold on. It is the ability to last. Someone say last. See, the quality of endurance is needed because we will experience tough times in life. Bad things are going to happen. It's not a matter of if, but of when. What does 1 Peter 2:21 tell us? It says, for to this you are called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. You know, we like to talk about the fruits of the Spirit when we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, right? It says we get patience, love, kindness, goodness. But we forget that spiritual quality that's called long suffering. What does that mean? The ability to endure even when it's unfair. Right? Why? Was it fair what happened to Jesus on the cross? Absolutely not. But because of love, he patiently endured. And he left us an example. See, as our church grows, one of the things we have to understand is that in order for spiritual growth to happen, we will have to learn to endure hardship. Jesus himself suffered and gave us an example. First Peter even warns us. He says, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come onto you to test you. See, what some of you are going through, it's simply God is testing you now. Yeah. Some of you have entered into the process of God. Look throughout all the Bible. Before God used anybody greatly, what did he do? He took them through a series of tests. There was usually this thing called a process that he would take them through. Sometimes he would put them in a pit like Joseph, where Joseph was called to be ruler. But what happened? He was thrown into a pit. He was then sold as a slave. Then he was thrown into jail for something he didn't do. But at just the right time, God took him from the pit to the palace. Why? Because God was preparing him for something great. See, some of you've entered into the testing of God. What is a test? It is a critical examination, observation, or evaluation. A test is a procedure intended to establish, watch this, the quality, genuineness, or reliability of something, especially before it is taken into widespread use. See, God is preparing some of you for ministry, but what is he doing? He is taking you through a procedure that is intended to establish the quality within your life of genuineness, reliability, and God is doing something in you before he can use you greatly. How many know that reliability is important? Faithfulness is important, right? Right? We need to be people that endure the testing time, not just the mountaintop. God will allow us to enter into a season of testing and struggle in order to mature our faith. How? He responds. You know how God will grow your faith? By allowing you to go through trials. You know, if you're a parent this morning, you know that you can protect your children, but if you're not careful, you'll teach them to be codependent. If we're always coming to their aid, if Mama Bear and Papa Bear always come out, don't look at me like that, right? Right? I'm learning that there's certain things I cannot save my son from, even my daughter. You hear stories about Gianna all the time. Gianna likes to climb things. Come on, somebody. Right? How many know that you climb something too far, at some point you're going to fall? But there are certain things that I can't save my children from. In the same way, God, being our Father, will allow us to go through some things and he won't save us from it. You know why? Because he needs you to grow in your faith. See, as I was preparing this message, the Lord was showing me that there are some, you're stepped into the ministry, but now you've entered into a season of testing. And now it's gotten hard. Now the genuineness of your heart is going to come out. You're either going to step forward or you're going to step back. See, one of the things that I've learned pastoring and serving God for the last few years is that people are in love. Listen to me clearly. They're in love with the idea of serving God. They're in love with the idea of doing great things for God. Then crisis hits. Then they got to pay a price. Then sacrifice is demanded. Then dying to ourself is demanded. Then in order to go to the next level, you got to sacrifice and be faithful. Then the idea of serving God isn't so great anymore. It now becomes a hindrance. Why? Because our genuineness has now been tested. We live in a generation that likes to move on from, the next exciting thing, the next one fad to the next. Listen, walking with the Lord is not a fad. It is something that we do from now till the end. See, I've always had a love-hate relationship with running. But I've never been a fast guy. But one of the things that I did do when I was in middle school is I ran track and field, but I was never good at the 100-meter dash, 200-meter dash. But you know where I excelled at? Was in the mile, the 800-meter. Because although people could start fast, one of the things that I learned early on, my coach taught me, was Eric, stop trying to run so fast at the beginning. Instead, find a steady pace. Keep running. Don't worry, because those that start fast, at some point, you're going to pass them. Why? Because I learned that the race is not won at the beginning. The race is won in my endurance. See, some of you, you got to be careful not to start too quickly, because the enemy is sitting there licking his chops. You ever see that meme where that guy's like this behind the tree? I wish we had the meme. Anyways, but he's like this, and he's licking his lips, and it looks like a man that's just waiting to take over someone. Well, you got to know that the enemy is sitting there waiting. Oh, this one's excited. This one's jumping in quick. And then he waits because he knows that over time that feeling will leave you. And then you'll be forced to make a decision, and that's when he comes in like a flood. Now, where am I going with this? Listen, crisis has a way of revealing character. Understand this, it's the testing of our faith that will develop our character and our maturity. See, I came here this morning because I believe that God is allowing you to go through your process for a reason, and he's preparing you for the next season of your life. What you do during this time will determine what happens when you step into what God has for you. See, as a football coach, we teach kids to hit. And it's amazing because we put them through the Oklahoma drill. Anybody know the Oklahoma drill? Well, basically what you do is you lay on your back, and then they blow the whistle, and then two people get up and they run straight at each other. It's amazing because you got athletes that are fast. You got athletes that know how to juke. But my question is, what happens to that athlete when he gets punched in the mouth? They don't physically get punched in the mouth, but they get tackled really hard. All of a sudden, the one that was flashy, the one that had all the moves, once he gets hit, he don't want to go back into the game. Why? Because he got hit. You know, I was talking to a coach yesterday, and we weren't able to go to my son's football game, but he was telling me, man, we played, you know, they've been blowing everyone out. Literally, they haven't lost a game. I think they scored 15 touchdowns in three games. But then they went to a tournament this week, and they played against one of the top teams in the state. I said, did you guys win? He said, no, we tied. I said, oh, wow, you guys found competition. He said, yeah. He's all, man, they knocked down four of our players out of the game. One of our kids got hit so hard, he didn't want to go back in. It sounds funny, but that's happening spiritually. Some of you were running. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. If you're watching online, maybe it's you. Come on, somebody. No, I'm just telling you. Listen, I'm telling you also from experience, because when I came into the ministry, if you talk to my pastor, ask him. I wanted to do everything. But then he would always tell me to slow down, slow down, slow down. And one of the things I learned about my pastor is that he taught me, Eric, this is a marathon, not a sprint. See, I believe that God is allowing some of you to be tested because he's now developing your character. He's developing you for the long haul. See, I also feel led not only to talk to you about the testing, but I feel like you got to know about God's promises, because I will say this, it's easier said than done when it's like, just stick the course, just stay. God, right? Isn't that the hardest thing to listen to sometimes? Yeah. Right? Isn't it one of the most annoying things? Just pray, brother, you're going to get through this. You don't know what I'm going through. Oh, just stick the course. Well, you don't know what's going on in my house. Oh, just stick it out, buddy. God's with you. And you're like, man, I don't want to hear that right now. I also want you to know that I've been there. Multiple times in my walk with God. I remember specifically as I was preparing for this message, the Lord reminded me of a promise that I forgot about. You know, God will speak. And one of the greatest things of the enemy is this thing called distraction. And maybe I've just been so busy I forgot about this promise. But this is a promise he gave me back in 2017 during a time in my walk where I was contemplating. You ever contemplated before? It was during a time that I was struggling, not in sin, I was just struggling, man. Life seemed so hard. I felt the weight of the world on my shoulders. I felt like I couldn't balance marriage, being a pastor, my children. I remember waking up a few mornings not wanting to get out of bed. I remember for a split second, listen to me, for a split second, I started to ask myself, is it even worth pastoring a church? And in my struggle, the Lord gave me 1 Peter 5, 10, and 11. And I feel some of you need to write this down, because I'll never forget what happened. In the midst of my struggle, in the midst of the church not doing well, listen to me. This is the word that God gave me. And I believe that it's relevant for your life as well. 1 Peter 5, 10, and 11. This is the promise that God gave me when I wanted to give up, when I was in struggle, when I was unsure of what the future held. Listen to what God gave me. And 1 Peter 5, 10, and 11 says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, he will restore you and make you strong, firm, and settle you. To him be power forever and ever. Amen." Now, some of you, that was weak. I was about to give up, y'all. I was about to give up. Listen to me. Imagine you wanting, like, this was the last, and the first thing that you read says, "And God of all grace." In other words, the God of grace who's seen my struggle, the Bible tells me that he called me to eternal glory, and that after I suffered just a little while, he was going to restore me. He was going to make me strong. He was going to make me firm, and he was going to settle me, and to him be power and glory. See, this morning I feel led to tell some of you, you're going through tough times, but his grace is sufficient for you, for his power is made perfect in your weakness. And God has a plan, and God's going to restore everything the devil tried to take from you. He's going to make you strong in this season. In the next season, you're going to be firm, and you're going to be settled, and nothing's going to move you. Why? Because you endured suffering like a good soldier. Let's unpack this real quick and then we'll get out of here. What was the promise? Number one, the Bible says that Christ himself, the Bible says, will restore. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, what was the promise? Number one, that God himself will restore you. What does it mean to restore? Watch this. To mend, repair, to fit, or frame. Perfectly joined together, preparing to restore. What I love about this scripture in the King James Version, it says that God himself will make you complete. Someone say complete. Complete. See, the idea here is that through our suffering, God will thoroughly complete that, watch this, which was broken. In your suffering, listen to me clearly. The idea in this scripture is that God would make complete that which was broken. Now listen to me. If we're honest, how many know we're broken people? Come on, like, we're broken people. Right? This room is full, man, of mommy issues, daddy issues, trust issues, abandonment issues, anger issues, holding on to the past issues, hardened heart issues, old mindset issues, traditions, right? Many of us, we're broken. We're all broken. I'm broken. There are things that I'm realizing I'm coming out of, but watch this. God, through my suffering, will allow me to go through tough times in the attempt to make me complete. In other words, he wants to fix that which was broken. And that's why God allows us to go through things. See, when someone makes a decision to follow Christ, listen to me, there is a restoring process God will allow us to go through. And that process will usually come in a form of a trial. James 1:2 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing," watch this, "that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and," what? "Complete." We serve a big God, and I know that the struggle is real. Someone say the struggle is real. But you hold on, because God's going to restore you in due time. Number two, the promise says that God will make you strong. Someone say strong. Now, this Greek word comes from the Greek word called steneo, which means, watch this, to make strong. But not just to make strong physically, but it's the strengthening of a person's soul. Remember the scripture. After you have suffered a little while, the Bible says he himself will make us complete. And watch this, and make our soul strong. Somebody say, no pain, no gain. See, anyone who's ever been to the gym understands this concept. One doesn't simply show up to the gym and all of a sudden become strong. No, what? There is a working out. There is a suffering process. Come on, I'm getting older. I went on a bike ride yesterday. I'm still sore. We played football with my two brothers. Both of my brothers' older kids. One's 17, one is 15. I was out there trying to do my thing. If you've seen the video, you probably laugh because I fell like six times. And no one hit me. Fell, got up real quick. One time I fell and I was like, ooh, ooh. I was like, Joey, help me up. Right? No pain, no gain. In other words, people don't just grow muscles. How do they grow a muscle? They got to work it out. There is a soaring process. There is a process of pushing and enduring. Are you hearing me? Understand this. It's in our weakness that God is made strong. Isaiah 40:29 says he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. You might feel weak right now, but if your trust is in God, watch this. God will increase the power of those that are weak in him. Are you hearing me? Moving faster, and you can come to the piano, please. Number three. Everyone look over here. Number three, maybe God wants you to hear this one. Number three, the Bible says that God will not only will God restore us, not only will he make us strong, but number three, he'll make us firm. Someone say firm. The word firm means to make stable, place firmly, to set or to fix as a fixture. You know, when you look up those fans, they're fixtures. They're not going anywhere. They're set. They're not moving. When I look at that fan, that's what I want to be like spiritually in the house of God. Set, not going anywhere. Set in place and knowing that this is where I'm going to be. Are you hearing me? See, through suffering, God will establish us. It is through adversity that God will teach us what it is to stand firm. You cannot learn to stand firm without adversity. Standing firm without adversity will knock you off your high horse the first trial that comes your way. See, most people do not know how to handle adversity. As a matter of fact, we live in a world where most people, they're runners. Someone say runners. What is a runner? Runners are people who run from their problems, who don't like or don't know how to deal with conflict or pain. Runners, at times, are people that are like ostriches. They put their head in the sand because they're not sure how to deal with things. Listen, in this season, I don't want you to be a runner. I want you to head on, face your trials, head on, stand firm, come what may. Come hell or high waters, I will fix my eyes onto the hills because I know where my help comes from. I will fix my eyes on Jesus. I am not going back. I am not going to surrender. I'm going to believe. I'm going to start. I'm going to fight. I'm going to claw. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. Those of you that have been standing for a long time and been fighting, listen to me. Be careful that you don't carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. Be careful that you don't take on more than you can chew. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on the alert, stand firm in faith, act like men, and be strong. Heavy. That's what the Apostle Paul was telling the church. He says, be on alert. Stand firm in faith. Act like a man. Someone say, act like a man. That's what the Bible says. As believers, we got to stand firm. Not in my house. Not in my house. Fear tries to creep into the TG Board residence. Not in my house. Sin tries to creep in. Not in my house. Lies of the enemy. Not in my house. Not in this church. We will stand on truth. We will believe in God. And we're going to fight till the end. Lastly, as we all stand, as we all stand, the Bible says he will settle you. What does that word settle mean? It's a Greek word called themeleo. And what this means, to lay a foundation, to be founded, to establish or make stable. It depicts the idea of a master builder laying a basic foundation that something might be built and raised up. This has given me great assurance because I am convinced, listen to me, that God is allowing you, God is allowing me, and God is allowing us to go through tough circumstances because he's laying a foundation for what he's going to raise up. See, when God settles something, listen to me clearly, it cannot be shaken. When God settles something, when God establishes something, it will not be removed. The adversity that some of you are experiencing is a part of your process. The adversity God is allowing you to go through will be the very thing that implants you and settles you for the long haul. I end with this. 1 Corinthians 15, 5 and 8 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Watch this. Always, the Bible says, give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor is not in vain. Our labor is not in vain. Your stretching, your trial is not in vain. Your pain is not in vain. Your endurance is not in vain. God is preparing you. God is teaching you for what he's going to do in the future. With every head bowed and every eye closed.